spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned today. Two very, very important discussions. During the first half hour, we're going to be talking with Danny McCamley about a ring that could help you stop snoring. That's right. Clinically tested and some exciting prospects there. Then we're going to have Dr. Daniel Lieberman on to talk about possibly one of the greatest books ever written, the seminal work, The Story of the Human Body. No one should be without this book, especially if you are in the healthcare industry. It's very, very important. But let's go ahead and get started. Danny McCamley, how are you?
I'm very well, Carl. How are you?
Good. Danny is the Director of Project Management over at Aspen Clinical Research in the UK. And you guys test a variety of different products, correct?
Yeah, we do everything from cosmetics, toiletries, perfumeries, anti-aging, systemic effect, anything and everything to do with the skin, hair care, etc.
And we had you on as well. Yeah, we had you on to talk about liposomal vitamin C and its effect on skin. And you and I happened to get talking on a side note, and you sent me a copy of this study. And I was astounded by it. So let's get right to it. First of all, snoring is a big problem. It's in epidemic proportions. In its worst case, it almost asphyxiates people. But even moderate snoring has been linked to changes in heart rhythm and a variety of other disorders. Is it that way in the UK as well?
It is indeed. I mean, it's not just the physiological effects. Obviously, you've got the psychological effects of a lack of sleep and the feeling of exhaustion in the morning and sleeplessness, which can have a play on mental health as well as physiological health.
So there's lots of devices out there, mandibular repositioning devices, which I tried, and they can change your bite permanently and cause lots of problems. Then in the more extreme cases, they have constant airway devices like CPAP machines. But no one wants to wear any of these things. It's just not fun. It's not sexy. You can't be...
Well, they're very invasive.
Yes. And if you have a partner in bed with you, the last thing you want to do is pull a saliva-ridden device out of your mouth or pull what looks like a breathing mask off your face. But your client has a product that just goes on the pinky, right?
It does. It fits on the little finger of the left hand. Works via a form of acupressure. So it's designed to apply pressure to the S1-2 and the HT9 C nerve bundles on the little finger, which are linked to your small intestine and your heart. So it changes your sort of muscle contexture in your central nervous system and act in the same way that the mouth guards and the sort of constant airway pressures work. They prevent the soft palate and tongue from blocking the airwaves.
Now, this is amazing to me. Dan, when you first looked at this, you had to think to yourself, okay, this is a real stretch.
I didn't think it was going to work.
You didn't?
If I put my hand up, I didn't think it was going to work. A ring on the finger affecting snoring, I'm not a big believer in holistic sort of treatment.
Well, and I'm with you. I'm not a big believer in acupressure, acupuncture. I'm like, okay, but I did some research in preparation for this, okay? And I did find that both the ulnar nerve and the 10th cranial nerve, which is known as the vagus nerve, can be affected by this group of nerves in the pinky.
Yeah, precisely. The Remark bundles there are what have been shown consistently under very reliable, valid clinical data to have an effect on the central nervous system.
Okay, so first of all, what hand is it worn on? Left, right?
Left.
Left,
yeah.
Correct. I should have said left, correct, not left, right, because that's going to confuse everybody. okay, so left hand. Now this ring is specially designed. It's got little bumps inside of it, if you will, that kind of apply gentle pressure to areas of the finger, right?
Precisely. So it comes in three different sizes, obviously, for the size of the hand. And it's adjustable as it's got a small gap on the sort of inside edge of it. And you just sort of squeeze it together so that the bump on one side places pressure against the inside edge of your little finger and the sort of straight edge pressure point on the outside of the little finger are met together, which obviously can stimulate the nerve.
Okay, now this is not for someone who has severe case of obstructive sleep apnea, correct?
No, it's specifically designed for simple snoring rather than sleep apnea.
Right, and if you have central sleep apnea, it's a totally different situation. So if somebody who has a moderate normal snoring, as we say, or moderate snoring.
Yeah, cosmetic simple snoring, just a sort of muscle texture and contexture rather than a medical condition of sleep apnea, which is obviously the heart.
Okay, talk about the study. Explain the study that you did.
So what we did was we brought in 40 people of a mixed demographic, so male and females over the age of 18, and we first of all investigated them to make sure that they wasn't sufferers of sleep apnea. It's important to note that we did exclude everyone that suffered from sleep apnea.
Just for the record, sleep apnea is classified as a specific number of breath holds, if you will, within a minute per minute throughout the night of sleep, right?
Precisely. So over 15 instances of your a pause in the breath in 1 minute, in an hour, sorry. So apneatic events in an hour.
Right.
Is classed as an apneatic person. And it's actually a risk to the health, and it is a severe risk to the health where it can cause death.
Yes.
And coma, where your body just stops respirating. And obviously can cause all sorts of issues.
Right. Okay, so these individuals did not suffer from sleep apnea. They just had moderate to light snoring, which would consider a normal snoring. So explain this study. Did they sleep with the ring, without the ring? Did you get a baseline with and without?
So to start with, we sourced a device from Canada, a Medibite unit, which is used in, it's a class medical device to investigate respiratory and heart rate during sleep. Subjects wore the device without any kind of ring on their finger for 4 nights just to establish the sort of sleeping patterns whilst wearing the device. Obviously, it's quite an invasive device, fits across the chest, it has AHI, it has heart rate, it has blood pressure monitors, etc. So it's going to affect the sleep in itself. So first of all, we accustomed the subjects to the device. Following that, they was given the ring, and they was given a set of one of two usage instructions. One was to wear it on the little finger, the active site, and the other was to wear the ring on the middle finger, which obviously doesn't contain the same nerve points and the same pressure points. So we created a placebo group in that fashion. Following a week of wearing the ring, they was then assessed, again using the Medibite unit, and then swapped over group-wise. So if you'd been wearing it on your little finger to start with, you then change it to your middle finger so the subjects were blinded, and we also could do within-subject comparisons.
So what did you learn over the period of the study?
What we found was an 89% reduction in snoring on the active site when worn correctly on the little finger, and no difference between baseline and endpoint when worn on the placebo finger.
So when you say 89% reduction in snoring, do we mean that they still snored but they snored lighter, or did they 89% of the group stopped snoring?
So we see a reduction in the volume and the frequency of snoring. Mm-hmm. It didn't stop snoring completely in all subjects, but we were seeing a reduction of 89% roughly in the snoring instances.
I mean, that's amazing, isn't it?
It is. I mean, when you think of some of the other treatments that, you know, you can say you change your sleep position or you lose weight or you don't drink alcohol before sleep, this is such a non-invasive way, and it proved to be so very effective in a medically recognized sample size.
Well, I have to believe that if you're already sleeping on your side too, which has a great effect on keeping the soft palate from collapsing on the back of the throat and causing the snoring sound, that the addition of this ring would maybe make you not snore at all.
Precisely. I mean, in the supine position, as you mentioned, it's more prolific. So if you're sleeping on your side whilst wearing the ring and you're not under the influence of alcohol at the time, it shows a drastic reduction in snoring instances.
Now, does the ring work consistently, or does the body adjust to it and it stops working at some point in the future, or did you not really assess it long enough to determine that?
The ring usage instructions dictate that you only wear it during the evenings, like while sleeping. So you put it on sort of 20 minutes before sleep and take it off as soon as you wake, so that the body doesn't obviously become desensitized to the pressure applied on the finger.
This is kind of like, you know, I mean, it's hard to believe that something like this could work. What was it that tipped them off that this would work?
It was anecdotal. The manufacturer had sort of done some research into it, produced a product, and the company offers a money back guarantee if there was no if you're not happy with the product. And they had something like 0.07% returns over global sales of thousands of the product. So then they produced a telemarketing survey and found that people were reporting it really was helping them snore. They wasn't noticing the snoring. They wasn't waking up. The partners were happier. So obviously the next step for them was to do a clinical trial, investigate just how well it was working.
This is amazing. Now, obviously, my audience knows I snore, and my snoring was very severe, but I've done some things already that have gotten it to the point where now I just snore. I'm not gasping for air, which was a problem for me last year. I had developed this phenomenon that's going around the world, in especially in men, where the palate collapses on the back of the throat at night, and I actually recorded myself, instead of going for a sleep study, and then painfully listened to the tapes of myself. And at one point in time, and it always happens at the same time, between 3 and 4 a.m. in the morning, I must go into the deepest levels of sleep, because that's when I start to snore, and my snoring would become so pronounced that at one point I taped myself holding my breath for 38 seconds. I mean, shocking. Shocking. Mm. So, but now I just
almost
snore.
Almost a level of dangerous.
Yes. Now I just snore because I've corrected some of the problems, but I feel like this ring could be the answer to even getting me out of the snoring box entirely. Here's what we're going to do.
What corrective measures have you taken?
Well, I lowered my dose of testosterone, first of all. I also do not drink alcohol anymore. The alcohol was causing a lot of problems for me. I used to have a glass of wine before bed, and that was actually backfiring on me.
Hmm.
And then also sleeping on my side. If I stay on my side, I don't snore at all. I roll on my back eventually, throughout the night. And usually around 4 o'clock in the morning, I roll on my back and that's when I start to snore again.
Well, that's the problem with corrective sleep position therapy. Obviously, you can't control what you do once you're asleep. It's not very well falling asleep in lateral position, but in the sleep, you are going to toss and turn if you're a restless sleeper and end up in the supine position at some point.
Yeah, and that's when it happens. I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to tell the audience where they can also get the device, because it's really very interesting to me. Stay tuned. We're going to be talking more about the Stop Snoring ring in just a moment.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
Monsanto is kind of like the head of the serpent.
The battle cry against Monsanto is being broadcast.
But I've said that separating government from that industry is like trying to separate Siamese twins or conjoined twins who share a heart. You have to make a decision which is going to live and which is going to die. There's no easy way to separate.
You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore, weekdays at noon.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Only one testosterone booster, Mahler's Aggressive Strength, raises testicular cholesterol levels while increasing gonadotropin-releasing hormone. That in turn turbocharges how much testosterone you can make. In a clinical trial, this resulted in a 347% increase in testosterone, and it won't bottom out your estrogen levels either, so your libido will be in high gear. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aggressive Strength banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and get 10% off today.
The UK is known for its queen, Big Ben, and fish and chips.
Well, move over. Here's the UK's strongest pro hormone, Extreme Mass. Extreme Mass will give you a significant amount of muscle and strength, gains of up to 10 kilograms in a four-week cycle. You'll see an increase in libido, vascularity, and aggression. Shatter your personal bests in the gym while on Extreme Mass. Save 10% off. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Extreme Mass banner and use coupon code MASS10.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits, and so will you.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Danny McCamley. We're talking about the anti-snoring ring. Obviously, we have an international audience. I just did a quick search on the internet. I find distributors in Australia. It looks like in the UK, in Canada. Do we have distributors in the United States?
Current in the United States, it's available by mail order and DR of TV, so off-screen orders, via www.goodnightsnoring.com.
Yeah, that's right.
And it'll be it'll be hitting retail this fall.
I think it looks like it's about $42-$43 US. It looks like it's $59,
I believe.
Yeah. I hope it's made out of gold.
But a good night's sleep that you'll be having is golden.
No, you're absolutely right. Let's be honest. I mean, obviously, if this works for people the way it did in this study, then it's going to be money well spent.
I mean, especially when you look at, say, the cost of other treatments. I mean, humidifiers, say, for example, to stop the nose and throat becoming dry while sleeping, you're looking at $100 plus for a good quality humidifier. Then you've obviously got the invasive sort of oral devices, surgery even as a last resort.
Yeah, I know. I mean, people go into all different types of lengths now to stop their snoring. Because people are starting to understand that snoring is dangerous. Even if you're just a moderate snorer, the body still interprets that as a restriction of airflow, and it boosts stress hormones during sleep that shouldn't be elevated. Obviously, it has the ability to drop oxygen levels in the worst cases severely. That constant stressful situation where the body feels like it's asphyxiating affects both the brain through the termination through the nose, but more importantly, the heart. The heart becomes panicked, if you will. It starts to think it's going to, every time you hold your breath for a moment, that you're going to be gasping for air. So it's not a good thing. Snoring is not something that you absolutely... My father was 87 years old and didn't snore. So it's not something that you have to do as you age. There's something going on in our environment. I don't know what it is. But people are snoring at an alarming rate today. And the problem is you do it while you're asleep. If your partner doesn't know about it, you don't even know you're snoring.
Well, the problem is, I mean, in today's sort of society, obviously, people are eating later because they're busier during the day. So that heavy meal is sitting on their stomach and stopping, causing their muscles to relax and narrowing the airwaves. There's more alcohol consumption in the world. People are more overweight and more just generally of a larger stature. Things in the environment and the variables that we're introducing into our own lives are having a detrimental effect on our sleep. You know, the recommended sort of 8 hours sleep, very few people get it these days.
Right, right. And as you pointed out, there's a lot of things in the environment today that we don't even know about. Endocrine disruptors that could be causing problems that lead to snoring. So it's really a bad situation. So goodnightsnoring.com is the website. I'm actually going to try to get one of these and try it myself, and I will talk more about it on the show once I have a chance to check it out. But it's very, very intriguing to me. So now, do you use one?
I do, yeah.
Do you really?
I didn't before the study. During the study, when I started hearing all the sort of anecdotal from the subject saying it worked, started looking at the data, and I'm a simple snorer myself. And as you say, I mean, I'm quite young, quite slim. I don't drink heavily. I don't tend to have a lot of caffeine in my diet. Yet I couldn't kick this simple snoring. Wearing the ring, partners have stopped noticing my snoring, unless, obviously, I've been having alcohol consumption that evening.
So it does work for you then, there's no doubt about it.
It does work for me.
How long have you been using it for now?
About 4 months, 4 or 5 months now.
Obviously, is someone else reporting that you're not snoring, or how do you know you're not snoring?
Partners.
Yeah.
My partner has mentioned that the snoring frequency and the volume has stopped disturbing her sleep. So.
Do you snore? Now, in the past, did you snore all night, or did you start at different times of the night?
It was dependent on the evening. There would be some nights where I wouldn't snore at all, and there'd be other nights where I would snore as soon as I dropped off, right away through to when I woke up.
I always start snoring around 4 o'clock in the morning. It's the most bizarre phenomenon that I just can't figure it out. I don't know if that's when I go into my deepest, because when you go through REM, the muscles that regulate breathing start to become less responsive. Your breathing becomes much more shallow. I don't know if that I'm in the deepest stages of sleep at that time or what, but it always starts at 4 a.m.
The system will be closing down to relax itself, and then any kind of influence further on your oropharynx and pharynx are going to cause blockage of the airways.
Right. And think about this. If your body is purposely shutting down the central nervous system as a component of rest, and you are self-asphyxiating at that point, it cannot apply this method of rest because it becomes panic stricken. So you're missing out on this portion of sleep that the body obviously is trying to cause to occur because you're snoring.
Well, we see alongside the Medivite assessments, we also evaluated using the Berlin and Epworth sleep questionnaires, which are medically designed questionnaires to evaluate sleep and lead as an indicator for sleep apnea and instances of AHI. And when using the ring, we found that people were, their partners were reporting they were sleeping, they're snoring less, but they also was less tired during the day. Their mean scores fell. They was more awake during the day. They didn't feel like they was restless in the evenings, etc. They was less anxious about falling asleep as well, because obviously if you know you snore and you know it's disturbing your partner's sleep and you're going to wake up feeling stressed and anxious, then when you go to sleep, you're also worrying that, am I going to get a good night's sleep? I've got
right.
a big meeting tomorrow morning, etc., which plays on the mind and makes the matter tenfold worse.
You know what's funny? I have a litmus test of whether or not I snored during a night of sleep. When I snore, I wake up in the morning with tinnitus. My ears ring. When I don't snore, I wake up in the morning and my hearing is perfect, crystal clear. So when I first wake up in the morning and I listen as I come out of my sleep phase and I start to become aware of what's around me, if I don't hear my ears ringing, I know I got a good night's sleep. If I hear my ears even wishing, I know that I snored at some point in time at night.
So I imagine you're probably snoring quite loudly as well, then, to cause a level of...
Well, no, it's not the decibels. I've spoken to someone who specializes on, that is an ear, nose, and throat specialist. And what we've determined is there is a, when the soft palate collapses, it causes either a vacuum pressure or a back pressure where the ears led into the sinus area. And so what's happening is I'm actually either sucking or blowing into my ears from inside my skull, if you will. And through that, it's not a matter of decibels of snoring. It's a matter of this vacuous effect on that portion of the canal of the ear that lets into the sinuses. So that's for me personally. That's what's going on with me. So
it also doesn't help, obviously, that being male, that you've got narrow air passages anyway.
Yeah.
And you've got more muscle growth that when you're relaxed and asleep, it's going to be more pressure weighing down on your soft palate.
Now, you know, there's also another method that's worth mentioning. And I've often wanted to ask those who play trumpets, trombones, saxophones, if they snore at night, because there's an Aboriginal instrument called the didgeridoo, which is played in Australia by Australian Aborigines. And learning to play the didgeridoo for as little as 6 weeks can stop even the worst of snoring. I'm talking about full-blown sleep apnea. But because the back pressure builds the soft palate muscles back up. So there's a lot going on out there in the world of experimentation and deciphering what works. But listen, 6 weeks versus putting a ring on, I'd rather put the ring on.
The manufacturer of the ring is actually a saxophone player. He's a saxophonist, and he snored until developing the ring.
Okay, well, good. Then you answered that question. And it comes, I'm looking at it, comes with a money-back guarantee, so if it doesn't work for you, you get your money back.
Precisely. And they've had very few people take them up on the offer, so I'm assuming that outside of the demographic that we've tested, people are very, very happy with the product, which we've seen in the UK. In the UK markets, we've seen a great response via subjective questionnaires for several hundred people, all giving good positive feedback. So,
Danny, before we end the interview, how often do you test something where you start using it?
Rarely.
Yeah, okay. So that speaks to this right here. This is really great. I'm really excited about this. I'm going to try to get my hands on one. I'm going to start talking about it on the show if I'm able to get my hands on one. I'm going to look at ordering one. Danny, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about this amazing device.
You're welcome, Carl. You're welcome. And maybe I'll pop by in a few months when we open our site over there.
Yeah, that'd be great. And then I can talk about my success with the anti-snoring ring. Thanks a lot, Danny McCamley.
You're welcome. Have a lovely day, Carl.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to be performing an interview that I have been wanting to perform for some time now. The Story of the Human Body by Dr. Daniel Lieberman is possibly one of the greatest books I've ever read, and you must read it too, I'm telling you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Previously on Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
So government mandates the use of this, and government says you should try that, but government doesn't do those things.
Listen weekdays at noon.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937. 877-207-2877 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Superhumans using Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder are experiencing dramatic improvements in strength, performance, recovery, and endurance. Benefits that cannot be duplicated by any other supplement. Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder will take your game to another level. If you already know how great Percova Extra Edge Colostrum is, you could purchase 4 jars of Extra Edge Colostrum Powder for $200. Use coupon code SHR2. See the Percova banner ad on superhumanradio.com today. It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling. Specifically designed to transform your physique and record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary add 1 inch to your upper arms in a single workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad. The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today. Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. You know, I get to read a lot of books doing this show. And I always learn something from every book I read. But only one other book that I've ever read made me feel a sense of enlightenment the way The Story of the Human Body has made me feel by Dr. Daniel Lieberman. How are you doing, Dr. Lieberman?
I'm pleased to be here.
I got to tell you something. Everybody needs to read this book. I don't care who they are. If everybody in the country read this book, we would probably have a greater impact on the current health crisis than anything else that anybody could do. And more importantly, every physician should have to read this book when they go to school to become physicians. Everybody who makes healthcare policy decisions should have to read this book. This book is unbelievable.
Well, gosh, thank you so much.
Well, I mean, okay, so explain why you even got started writing this book. This is a major undertaking, and I also have to tell you, it reads like a fictional novel. You don't want to put it down. It's not boring. It's an amazing book, but the information in it. Explain how you got started even undertaking this.
Well, I mean, it had a long gestation, but I teach human evolution here at Harvard, and for years I've been teaching, you know, what happened in human evolution. And I can, you know, a lot of my students are going to be doctors, you know, they're pre-medical students. And I've spent a lot of my career writing, doing research for other academics. And over the years, I got increasingly frustrated that what I was teaching and what I was writing, although it was fun and interesting, you know, figuring out why we are the way we are is fun, that most people who I talk to or teach aren't actually all that interested in knowing, you know, what the brain size of Lucy, you know, Australopithecus
right.
afarensis was. But they do care about their bodies. And I started thinking more and more about how is evolution relevant to health. And in most people's eyes, that, you know, they think paleo diet. That's all they think.
Right.
And the paleo diet has some good things, but also some problematic things. And I realize that we have a very superficial sort of understanding of how our evolutionary history is relevant to how and why we get sick, and also how and why it is that we're constantly treating the symptoms of diseases rather than preventing their causes. So it was my attempt to try to see how I can, you know, help people understand these questions and help move the debate forward so that we can help each other.
And you have accomplished that. So a couple things that I thought about. First of all, one evening when I was reading the book, and I was probably through the first, I don't know, 6 or 7 chapters, I remember closing the book. I was laying in bed. I remember closing the book and holding it horizontally in between my hands and looking at my hands and realizing that my hands looked like the hands of an ape. And I've never felt this way before, but when I was reading the book and I was reading about, you know, our last common ancestor and how this journey began and what we were like when we first learned how to stand up. And I mean, it was very evident to me that we take for granted that very little has changed with our bodies over some millions of years now. And I that was the first thing. The second thing that I thought about was, I know why people probably don't want to read this book. You know why? It makes you feel very insignificant when you realize 6 million years have passed and you're like this blip on a blip. I mean, it's very sobering.
It is, but I think it's also exciting. And I think it's fun to understand why we are the way we are and why our hands are the way they are. And I think it's empowering, actually. We're an experiment. We're an evolutionary experiment. But I think that it's fun and useful.
Yes. When you get past those two points, the book is startlingly enlightening. So let's start with a couple things that I found most interesting. First of all, the fact that the greatest contribution to our evolution early on was not that our brains, but the fact that we became bipeds and that we perspired.
Yeah. You know, we often think that the brain led the way in human evolution. What makes us most special is our big brains. But actually, Darwin figured this out, too, that actually it was bipedalism that started us off into being very different from other animals. We didn't actually start evolving big brains until 4 or 5 million years after we diverged from the other apes. But importantly, becoming bipeds had all kinds of contingent effects. So evolution works through contingency. You know, things can't happen unless other things have happened previously. And becoming bipedal had some advantages early on, but it also had some important disadvantages, which then set the stage for our becoming really good at endurance running. Because
right.
As soon as we became bipeds, we became slow. You know, you only have, you know, if you go running with your dog has twice as many limbs to produce power to move itself forward. And humans can run basically about half as fast as other animals of our body size, because we only have 2 legs rather than 4 legs, and that meant we couldn't hunt or run very fast. And when predators chased us, we were probably really easy picking. And that was a cost which was apparently outweighed by the other benefits of being a bipedal. But then, starting around 2 million years ago, as the climate started changing in Africa again very profoundly, evolution somehow found a way to make that cost an advantage, which is to turn us into not sprinters, but endurance runners. And one of the key sets of features that make us so good at endurance running is our ability to sweat, which is something that is unique to humans.
And you know what I also found very, very interesting was that our first foray into hunting without weapons was persistence hunting, because we were able to sweat. And we were able to go for long distance when other animals couldn't. So we would just wear them out until they would die of heat shock, and we'd pick them up and eat them.
That's exactly right. Isn't that cool? Because, even putting a stone point on the end of a spear, that was invented maybe only 300,000 to 500,000 years ago. But we know that our ancestors were hunting big game like kudu and wildebeest and things like that between 2 and 2.5 million years ago. And so how did they hunt without any of the technology that we take for granted, even among very sort of simple sort of Stone Age technology? And the answer is, as you say, persistence hunting. We're able to run animals, chase them at a speed that makes them gallop, and because they can't cool by sweating the way we do, when they gallop, they have to cool by panting, and you can't gallop and pant at the same time. So if you can make an animal gallop for a long period of time, you actually cause it to overheat, and that's exactly what our ancestors did. And there's still people who occasionally do this in different parts of the world. It's very rare, of course, because we don't need to anymore. But that legacy is part of our bodies, and so the fundamental sort of basic aspect of human anatomy and biology and physiology is that we're endurance athletes. We evolved to run and walk long distances, and that's part of who we are. It makes us very special compared to most organisms.
And that's why sitting at desks all day is having the deleterious effect on health that it's having today, and we know this about the lack of activity. Another thing that I was amazed by was that the Ice Age, two things. Number one, the Ice Age didn't happen and disappear. It ebbed and flowed over 40,000 years, right? It came and went.
Yeah. It was constant change, and must have been really quite challenging for everybody back then.
But in fact, climate change is what allowed us to basically cover the entire planet at some point, because every time the climate became unlivable, let's say, we went and moved someplace else, right?
That's right. Yeah, we were not sort of nailed to the ground and just coped with the climate changes. As the climate has changed, as glaciers, for example, covered the northern hemisphere and then receded, as the Sahara expanded and shrank, that pumped humans and also other animals and plants sort of around the globe. And so we got pumped in and out of Africa and throughout Europe and Asia as climates shifted. But we also managed to develop technologies that enable us to sort of cope with climate change in a way that was different from any other species. So by the time that, around 40,000, 50,000 years ago, humans had become culturally sophisticated enough that they were actually able to sort of endure and ride out the Ice Age in some parts of the world. And that was unique. And it may be one of the reasons we outlasted the Neanderthals.
And the last thing I want to talk about with the Ice Age was we think of ourselves as being big brain now, but there's really evidence that our brain has shrunk since that period, right?
That's right. Yeah. So during the Ice Age, our ancestors had brains that were slightly larger than ours today. I mean, not hugely, a few hundred milliliters, but our brains have shrunk because actually our bodies have shrunk. So animals that live in cold environments, think about them like mammoths and bears. They tend to be really large, and the reason for that is that you want to have a large area, a sort of small surface area relative to the size of your body, right? So big animals actually have smaller surface area to body mass ratios. So as the Ice Age receded and it's gotten warmer since then, we've actually gotten smaller. There's been selection for humans to get a little bit smaller, and because we've gotten smaller, our brains have also gotten smaller by just the right proportion. So we're smaller brains than we used to be a few thousand years ago.
And if anything, the job one, or the evolutionary gift of our brain, was not necessarily our ability to logic things out, but instead community, the ability to want to cooperate with others in the party. And you point out in the book, a chimp may feed a baby chimp that's lost its mother, but it's not going to share food with another peer. But humans do that, right?
That's right. That's one of the things that makes us special. We're amazingly cooperative, pro-social creatures that help each other out in ways that no other animal does. And it's intrinsically part of who we are. I think, for example, it's part of even running. Everybody was amazed about the Boston Marathon this year and how everybody was running as this big community event, which it was. It was an amazing event. But, people have been doing that for 2 million years. I mean, we've been running in order to hunt, and when people hunt, they share their food. So hunters, when they came back from a hunt 2 million years ago, would come back and share that food with everybody. This has been going on for millions and millions of years. Nobody else does that. No other animals do it in the same way.
Well, and it's why we have government. I mean, because we are so unique that way, that government says, hey, this is the law, do it, and we follow the law because we want to cooperate.
Yeah, I mean, government is a formal governments are a very recent phenomenon since really the invention of agriculture, but the instinct, the tendency for us to help each other out and act in cooperatively is very ancient, and it's essential, it's quintessential to being a human being.
We have to take a break. I've got so many questions, and we're going to end up talking about the current healthcare debacle as we go through this. We're talking with Dr. Daniel Lieberman. The book is called The Story of the Human Body. You must read this book, and I really mean this. If you read this book, you'll have such a different opinion about everything around you. You can get the book by going to superhumanradio.com at the very bottom of the homepage. You can click a link to order the book. Everybody has to read this book. I promise you it will change the way you look at the world. It will change the way you look at your life. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
They say that tough love is sometimes the best advice. Well, he's got the toughest love.
Why you should not drink diet sodas? It's very, very simple. If you don't subscribe to the idea that they're toxic, fine. Then subscribe to the idea that they cause a derangement in insulin response. If you don't subscribe to that, fine. Then subscribe to the idea that they spike insulin. I mean, it's like, do whatever you want, but why do we need science to tell us to stop consuming more chemicals? Are you really that pathetically addicted to something that's not good for you? Then say it. Say, I'm addicted to these things that I can't help myself. I know they're bad for me. I'm going to keep using them, and then we don't have to do research.
You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
By now, everyone knows I'm a big proponent of dairy, but as we all know, not all dairy is created equal. Learn more about a form of dairy made available to us that is raw, organic, grass-fed, grass-finished, low-heat pasteurized, and cultured with probiotics, without the offensive beta-casein protein believed to be 13 times more toxic than gluten. Check out superhumandairy.com to learn more, or go to superhumanradio.com and click the green-fed dairy banner ad today.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use AuraMD. AuraMD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of AuraMD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the AuraMD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but AuraMD, and neither should you.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carved your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com and enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
Train harder, train longer, recover faster, and elevate protein synthesis. It's finally here, Splice, with branched-chain amino acids, taurine, and trimethylglycine. You'll blast through your workouts without the need for stimulants, and the alpha-lactalbumin ensures your workouts will be the most productive because nothing accelerates muscle growth faster. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Predator Nutrition banner ad and use the coupon code SPLYCE10 to save 10% off today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio, the story of the human body. Probably one of the greatest books ever written, I'm telling you. Dr. Daniel Lieberman. So, Dr. Lieberman, I erroneously used the word on my show starting somewhere early last year, devolution. I said, you know, we are actually doing things today that are hindering, impairing, or changing the direction of evolution. But you call it disevolution in the book. Talk about it a little
bit. Well, evolution is just change over time. And dis is bad, you know, something gone awry. And so, you know, there's two kinds of evolution going on today. One is the old-fashioned natural selection, the kind of stuff that Darwin wrote about. And it's still actually happening. It's just very slow and very hard to measure. And, you know, the changes that will occur in our lifetime are almost impossible to measure unless you're a scientist with huge sample sizes and fancy equipment. So we don't need to worry about evolution by natural selection. But the other kind of evolution that's going on is cultural, right? We're changing the foods that we eat and the ways we use our bodies by, in terms of how we walk and sit and run and, you know, everything. And our bodies are interacting with those environments, those new environments, in ways that are causing us to get sick. And we call those mismatch diseases, diseases caused by our bodies being poorly adapted to the environments in which we now live. And then, culturally, we respond to getting sick by treating the symptoms of getting sick. So, you know, you wear shoes that make your feet weak and then your arches collapse, and then you go get an orthotic, and that enables you to keep, you know, keep using shoes. And we do the same thing with diabetes and cancer and heart disease. We're getting sick because of the way we use our bodies is out of whack with how our bodies evolve, but we're also treating the symptoms more and more effectively, and that's enabling us to keep this vicious circle going. And I call that vicious circle dis-evolution.
And I called it devolution, but it was not the appropriate word. But I couldn't come up with dis-evolution with my small brain. Well, obviously smaller than it would have been had I been born in the Ice Age. But one of the things that I find interesting about this discussion is that you point out that the litmus test for tolerable diseases is A, if it impairs our ability to reproduce, and B, if we can make money off of it.
Yeah, and so a lot of the diseases that people get sick from, you know, they don't affect people really seriously until they've already had grandparents, you know. So let's take heart disease, the number one killer of Americans today, right? Most people don't suffer the ill effects of hypertension or you know, atherosclerosis or whatever until they're in their 50s or 60s. And at that point, you know, it's not going to really, you know, going to have any effect on their reproductive success, which is what natural selection really cares about. And then, of course, the other thing is that, you know, the reason we get sick is not because people are out there trying to get us sick, it's that they're trying to give us stuff, and we're quite happy to buy and do things that don't promote health, right? We like comfort. We like sweet things. We like, you know, if you put an escalator in the Kalahari Desert, I guarantee you the hunter-gatherers there would be using the escalator.
Right.
And if you put donuts in front of any human being, any part of the planet, I guarantee you they'd eat that over the, you know, the apples or carrots. That's how we're evolved, to crave those kinds of foods. And right now we live in a society and a world and an economy where we can suddenly, for the first time, have infinite access to foods and luxuries that used to be rare.
Now, I've said on this show that there's a new type of selection pressure. It's where you get your information from. And thank you. And one of the things I think we're seeing now is actually a tipping point has occurred. We have children who probably will not have offspring because of autism, because of colon cancer at 9 and 10 years old, diabetes at 9 and 10 years old, and other disorders that may, in fact, impair their ability to have offspring. So we actually have where we no longer have infectious disease. We have diseases of modernity that may actually thin the herd. 400 or 500 years from now, we could see entire gene lines erased from this gene pool. Do you think that's true?
Well, only to the extent that the factors that, so selection's only going to operate if the there's a heritable basis to people's proclivity to get those diseases. So if you have all of us have some proclivity to get diabetes and heart disease, etc. But the question is, are some of us more likely to get those diseases because of a gene we inherited, or because we simply happen to have the bad luck or the good luck to be born to in environments where those factors are present? And I would argue that there's really you know, all of us crave donuts. All of us crave driving in cars and taking elevators instead of the stairs. It's really our parents and the environments in which we grow up that's really making the big difference. So people who listen to your show or who go to, you know, who come from, turns out, you know, people who are more educated tend to be more, you know, wealthy. They have the time and leisure and the ability to exercise more and to buy healthier foods. It's not cheap to buy healthy foods today.
Right.
So I think that it's unlikely that selection is going to really act, because those factors that make, say, you or me more likely to live a healthy lifestyle as opposed to somebody who doesn't listen to the show, they're probably not, have no genetic basis. So
right.
It's not going to cause selection.
A very wise therapist, when I was in my 20s, I had my first experience with talk therapy. A very, very wise therapist named Jerry Katz once said to me, that men pursue and women choose. Can we blame women for the problems with selection today? Come on,
nah,
Doc, come on.
I'm not, first of all, well, all my instincts are not to touch that one when it says we're full. But no, I think choices by both males and females. I mean, sexual selection certainly is an important evolutionary thing. But really, it's all of us are subject to these. Look, I run a lot, right? But I've figured out that if I'm going to run a lot, I have to coerce myself into running.
Right.
You know, I can't. I have a, you know, a running group, so that there are days when, you know, the weather out there is foul, and it's, you know, particularly this winter was a really tough winter to go running. But if it weren't for the fact that I had a bunch of folks that I was supposed to run with, and a marathon I'd signed up for, I wouldn't have been out there. And so, so I think, you know, those of us who figure out how to, you know, when I go to the supermarket, I've learned long ago to eat before I go. Otherwise, I make worse choices when I go to the supermarket. So it's, you know, we have to figure out how to better adapt to this environment that we've created. But we also all need help in terms of understanding that environment and helping us from being nudged too much in the wrong direction. So I think all of us are making choices, and it's very hard to make the right choices. It's a challenge.
Yeah.
All of us struggle with it. Day in, day out. I don't know anybody who naturally does the right thing, because it's hard.
No, it is. You have to be focused on it. You have to make very, very wise decisions. And even those of us who make the decisions, you're right. It's our genetic predisposition to want to eat foods that are sweet, salty, and fatty, to sit around and take.
Instinct.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're instinct. They're part of our what we call the fast brain, and you really, you know, we need to use our slow brain. What Daniel Kahneman calls the slow brain, and it's powerful. But we need ways in which to turn off that fast brain and turn on that slow brain, and that's a real challenge.
Well, deferred gratification is not something that is a genetic gift of ours. I mean, deferred gratification requires us to plan ahead, and our brain was designed to. I'm hungry now. I need shelter now. I'm tired now.
Well, we have both parts of that brain. So we have those instincts, but we also have the ability to reason.
Yes.
They're both there, and the problem is that they're designed to do different things. They evolved to do different things. So those instincts help get us out of trouble. Those instincts help us put on, you know, eat things that we probably ought to eat, because later on we'll get the benefit of it. So not eating, you know, in the Paleolithic, if there was a plate of donuts in front of you and you weren't really hungry, that would have actually been maladaptive,
right?
To not eat those donuts. Today, it's become adaptive. So
right.
The circumstances have shifted, but those instincts are ancient, and so we need to understand those instincts and how to control them and to use them to our benefit, and how to avoid them being used to somebody else's benefit for us to survive and thrive.
We have to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the influence that the arch in our foot and how our hips changed. And more importantly, some research that I found. There was a debate going on the show last week because of the whole backlash on Five Fingers, which I'm a big fan of. And I want to talk about the arch and the mitten shoe and some of those things. We're talking with Dr. Daniel Lieberman. The book is The Story of the Human Body. If you have not bought any of the books that I've suggested this year, and you only want to buy one book this year, this has to be the book, I'm telling you. And in fact, I've given this book as gifts to even to Adele Musa, who contributes to the show from Munster, Germany, because the book is that profound. It really is a game changer. It is one of the books that will not only educate you, but enlighten you. You will see everything different. Get it. Go to superhumanradio.com. It's right on the homepage. We'll be right back.
There's something comforting about knowing he's out there.
Government is in place because it assumes that people are too stupid to care for themselves.
By your side.
Government has to take up the parental role of teaching people what to do.
Fighting the good fight.
Government has to get out of people's pantries, first of all. They can't legislate health.
He's Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carve your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to QuestApparel.com. Enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
Scientists around the world confirm the vital importance of redox signaling to cell health. ASEA is the first and only stable, perfectly balanced mixture of these redox signaling reactive molecules that exist outside of living cells and can be used to help maintain proper balance inside the body to support the immune system, recovery, and the healing process. To learn more about ASEA and what it can do for you, go to superhumanradio.com and click the ASEA banner ad today.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Livon Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, Dr. Lieberman, for a very long time now, I've always had one book next to my bed that was my go-to book when I wasn't reading something for the show. It's the Complete Works of Dashiell Hammett. I can open up that book at any page, start reading, fall right back into place. you know, the Maltese Falcon, the Thin Man, the Glass Key. I've added a second book, and it's yours, and it sits there next to the bed. I mean, I just pick it up. It's dog-eared. It's scribbled on. It's got pages folded. It's got ideas for shows written all over it. It's an amazing book. I really mean that. I think that it's going to go down as possibly one of the greatest contributions to understanding why we are so sick and how we can get ourselves out of it. And I don't understand why it's not an entire portion of a curriculum in medical school today. Let's talk about Five Fingers for a second. Five Fingers just got a backlash because, rightfully so, they made claims in advertising. But I wear Five Fingers and have been for 5, 6, 7 years now, and I love them. The arch you point out in the book was one of our evolutionary gifts. It allowed us to be better bipeds, and it even changed the architecture of our hips, right?
Well, it affected our whole bodies, yeah.
So talk about mitten shoes, and you said, you know, people's arches are collapsing nowadays. Shouldn't we be spending more time walking barefoot, or at least with minimalist shoes like those?
There's growing evidence that that's actually there are benefits to minimal shoes, but you know there's a lot of data that haven't been collected. The fact of the matter is that the foot is full of muscles, and those muscles, like anywhere else in your body, have to be used to be strong. And most people have very weak feet because the design of most conventional shoes. Actually, the reason they're comfortable is that they permit your foot to function without as much muscular effort. So they have arch supports. If you actually take most shoes off, you'll notice they've got what's called a toe spring. So the toes are actually curved upwards, and that means that your toes don't have to work as hard, push as hard when you lift off. We've got all kinds of features in shoes that make them comfortable. But since when is comfort good for you, right? And so what Five Fingers are, or like any other minimal shoe, they're not, you know, there's lots of minimal shoes out there. They just happen to be the one they got picked picked on. You know, they just don't have all those features, and so they allow your foot more or less to function more the way Mother Nature intended it to function. And we just actually published a paper which showed that people who we gave a bunch of people minimal shoes and had them run a kind of a running program, and we also gave them others do the exact same running program in conventional shoes, and we put them in MRIs before and after the experiment, and the people who wore minimal shoes actually their muscles got stronger, they got thicker, they got larger compared to the people who wore the conventional shoes, and their muscles didn't change at all. So you know, that's evidence actually that minimal shoes might actually have some benefits in terms of strengthening your feet. But the flip side of that is that you know, we have to be careful that if you've been wearing conventional shoes your whole life, your feet aren't actually adapted very well to go minimal, and you have to transition, I think, slowly and carefully and gradually. And I think actually almost all of the shoe companies out there advise their.
I had the director of marketing of Vibram on this show in 2009, and we talked about the shoes. And the first thing she said was, if you buy them, you wear them for an hour a day for the first 2 weeks because your feet, there are muscles in your feet that haven't been used in a long, long time, depending on how long you've been wearing mitten-type shoes, that will start to hurt if you just put them on and start wearing them all the time.
Yeah, so I think most people know that, and I think most of these companies have been pretty good about telling people that. But, you know, the way the legal system works is that, you know, sometimes it's, I mean, look, I have nothing to do with the company, and I don't know why they decided to settle or anything like that. But I been in their shoes, I would have fought the lawyers because I think actually there's pretty good evidence that the shoes are. There's good reason to believe the shoes are actually good for you. But you know, that's a scientific debate that will play out in the literature for the next 10, 15 years. But I'll tell you this: what's your null hypothesis, right? The null hypothesis in science is the hypothesis you have to reject. Is a conventional shoe better for you unless proved otherwise, or a minimal shoe better for you unless proved otherwise? How come nobody's going after any of the big shoe companies that make conventional shoes? I would argue that if we evolved it, it's probably better for us than something we didn't evolve to do. And you know, and conventional shoes are only around for a few decades. So, and 30% of Americans have flat feet, not to mention all the other problems we're getting. So don't tell me that. You know, conventional shoes are healthy for you unless proven otherwise. That's just nonsense.
Take a glimpse at the future for a moment. Looking at the trajectory that the planet is on right now, and I say the planet because all developed nations are pretty much in the same shape that the United States is. We have a penchant to want pharmacological intervention. We don't want to move. We want to eat lots of calories. So many things that are just so bad for us, and we don't want to give those things up. We want to find ways to continue to live this way. When you look forward using your mind's eye, knowing what you know about how we got to this point, what do you see in the future?
Well, I mean, I think the chances are we're heading towards kind of a future that looks not too unlike the movie WALL-E. I mean, it's,
yes.
That's really, sadly, where we are headed at the moment. Countries like, they're projecting that by the end of the decade, there could be 100 million people with type 2 diabetes in India. China, also, incredible diabetes epidemic, type 2 diabetes epidemic going on there. So this is a problem that is accelerating around the world. Mexico is now heavier than on average than Americans. So, and the problem with a lot of these countries is they don't have the infrastructure to cope with the kinds of illness that we have. So the question is, are we going to reach some kind of tipping point? In the United States today, we spend approximately 20% of our GDP on healthcare, and yet healthcare only explains about 10% of the variation in healthcare outcomes. We spend less than 5%, way less than 5% on prevention. And the question is, at what point does it have to get so bad that we have to look in the mirror and realize this is a really foolish and stupid way to try to help each other and to stay healthy and to also avoid financial ruin? The fact of the matter is it often takes a crisis for human beings to act, and I'm hoping that the crisis will come sooner rather than later because we're not headed in the right trajectory.
It takes multiple crises. I did this show many years ago. We had a scientist from the UK on who did a study to see how many life-threatening events must occur before a person alters the high-risk behavior that got them there. And for me, my personal journey was I got very, very sick when I was 39 years old. I had a heart problem. I was 330 pounds. And it just took that one event for me to change the trajectory of my life. But the average person, it takes three. And what she told me during that interview was that most people die around the second. So the reality is that I think we're going to have to be in a crisis for a very long time. When we look at the number of children that are ill today that will be in some need of institutional care, and then we look at the number of people in the older bracket that are even 50, 60, 70 who are going to need institutional care, there's a very, very small segment in the middle of people that have to generate the resources to carry all of this weight. This country cannot. I did a show five years ago with a university professor from the University Ohio State who wrote a book on anthropology, and I said to him, when we talk about civilizations that are gone, we think that they just disappeared. They didn't. They voted with their feet. They left the infrastructure behind because things got so intolerable. I says, what are the benchmarks for a society that's going to fail? And he listed them. And at that time, we were experiencing, this is probably 3 or 4 years ago, we were experiencing 7 of those. And he said, the last thing to happen is when the military stops protecting the country because they're not getting paid any longer, and the military starts to turn, if you will, and abandon. And we're starting to see that. We're seeing people in the military committing suicide because they can't afford to pay their own bills while they're in the military. And so we are already on that trajectory. When will this government realize that if they don't stop doing what they're doing and do something different, we're really in big trouble?
Yeah, well, it's a very complex systemic problem, part of which is that, if you look, for example, at the Farm Bill and the way in which we subsidize foods, the way the protections that are available to companies versus consumers, I mean, you can buy food and still not know what's in it. It's legal in the country now, completely legal, in fact, it's considered acceptable, and, you know, to label foods as fat-free that are actually more fattening than foods that contain fat.
Right.
But somehow this is considered acceptable because we can't infringe on free speech. But free speech for whom? I think that most people out there, you know, need to know and have a right to know how their food is affecting them. And right now, they're not getting that information. And so I think it's a political problem.
Yes, you're being very, very kind. It's a politically corrupt problem because the government, the FDA, the USDA, they are protecting the companies that produce foods. Our government subsidizes three crops that are at the root of a lot of disease in this country, and no one's going to say anything about it because the government needs to get their return on investment. It's a terrible situation. The government does not belong in our pantry. But you're right. But that's why I say information is the new selection pressure. People who get the message and act differently and vote with their dollars, we have a chance. And those who don't.
Yeah, but the problem is that the people who have that information it's become healthy eating and healthy lifestyle has become a class issue in the United States. I had the good fortune of going to Ironman the other year and to see who does Ironman, right?
Right.
These are millionaires for the most part. You know, you have to have a lot of money to put in that amount of time and effort in order to get fit and to eat those kinds of foods and to buy those expensive bicycles. And, you know, runners, for the most part, tend to be, not necessarily, but, they tend to be more educated people. People who have time to go to gyms and exercise and buy organic food or whatever it is you think is healthy for you, that takes time and money and effort. And if you're just struggling to get by, you can't afford that. And so we've created a system that's not a class system, not only in terms of income, but also in terms of health. And so it's a complex problem that I don't see a simple solution. As a professor, my job is to help teach people to think and help people get access to information and to be critical. And hopefully, my students and the people who listen to your radio show can start making the changes that are necessary, but it's going to take collective action on a very large scale for this to change.
Yeah, I agree completely. Let's take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up the interview. We're talking with Dr. Daniel Lieberman. The book is The Story of the Human Body. Buy it, read it, read it again. Stay tuned.
I bet you're feeling stronger already. So keep listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Superhumans using Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder are experiencing dramatic improvements in strength, performance, recovery, and endurance. Benefits that cannot be duplicated by any other supplement. Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder will take your game to another level. If you already know how great Percova Extra Edge Colostrum is, you could purchase 4 jars of Extra Edge Colostrum Powder for $200. Use coupon code SHR2. See the Percova banner ad on superhumanradio.com today.
The 1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Labs is among the fastest-growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the
most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Daniel Lieberman about the story of the human body, a book that he has written on evolution, health, and disease. Your students are really lucky. Do they know how lucky they are to have you as a professor?
Well, they're pretty darn lucky to be here at Harvard as well. I mean, I'm lucky to have them, Mike.
You're right. It's a great school.
One of the best students on the planet.
Now, so is this it for you? Have you written other books that I just am not aware of? Are you working on another book right now?
I wrote a book a few years ago called The Evolution of the Human Head, but it's a bit more academic.
Uh-huh.
It's basically on how and why our heads function the way they do, and because I actually used to be a head guy before I... That was sort of my training. And then I'm beginning to work on another book.
That's exciting.
But it's in its very, 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 very sort of conceptual stages at this point.
I went to school for optometry early on, and I one of the things that I found really intriguing was when you describe about how our noses are really not very efficient. The way our most animals, they breathe straight through, but ours is kind of convoluted and bent all different ways, and it makes it more difficult for us, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, it makes us have to work harder, so that it increases resistance in the nose. So it makes the flow more turbulent as opposed to laminar. So the flow air sort of goes through these complex fortitial sort of pattern. But the advantage of that is it makes us more efficient at humidifying air and also capturing humidity on the way out. So our external noses, which are unique to humans, are really an important part of that package of adaptations that make us really good at endurance.
We did a show late last year or early this year, I can't remember when, talking about obstructive sleep apnea in children.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor that I had cited that, you know, and this is something that you talk about, you know, how our jaws have changed as a result of softer processed food. They've narrowed, and he indicates that we're going to see a lot more obstructive sleep apnea because the jaw is getting narrower and narrower, and subsequently the airways are getting more easily blocked.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we evolved to eat pretty hard and tough food, and you know, chimpanzees spend half their day chewing, and hunter gatherers, you know, who live very sort of you know, don't have very sophisticated culinary technology, still at least spend 5% of their day chewing. I'll make a bet that nobody listening to this radio show spends that much of their day chewing. And what we chew is very, very soft and not very hard and very not very tough. And so that actually affects how our jaws grow, and it means that our faces are actually changing in size and shape simply because they're not exposed to the kinds of loads that we expected. And that's having effects on everything from malocclusion to perhaps the shape of our pharynx, indeed. So, yeah, there's all kinds of interesting things, all kinds of exciting, strange, and unexpected experiments that are going on today as we've changed our bodies and the way they function.
Sleep
is another good one.
I'm sorry.
Sleep is another good one, or reading, you know, and all the time we spend indoors, changing our eyes.
Well, you know what? You really enlightened me on that, because there's a phenomenon called parfocalization, and where the crystalline lens of the eye wants to always be within a certain number of diopters for or against a particular focal point.
Mm-hmm.
And so If you're a young child like I was, and you spent most of your time sitting 6 feet away from a television set, or 6 inches away from a book, and then, you know, 8 feet away from a blackboard, you actually develop myopia over time, because the crystalline lens becomes parfocalized for these near distances. And you point out that this is a disease of modernity. It's not a defect per se in us. It's actually something we acquire, right?
Yeah, a few generations ago, almost nobody had myopia. In fact, the very first documentation of myopia was actually in the Queen's Guard. You know those people with the silly hats who guard the Queen in London?
Yeah.
Well, so the foot soldiers, so James Ware was the first doctor who documented this, but he noticed that the foot soldiers in the Queen's Guard, none of them were myopic, but the officers who were educated, who read, that quite a few of them had myopia. And he published this, and it set off a firestorm of research around the world, actually in the 19th century, the early 19th century, and has now become very well, you know, documented phenomena that, you know, hunter-gatherers and people who are subsistence farmers and, you know, people who don't live modern Western lifestyles don't get myopia, but their grandchildren do. So it's not like some gene for myopia swept through the world,
right,
and suddenly caused people to become myopic. It's because we've changed our environments in ways for which our eyes are poorly adapted.
And so if you have a young child, make sure that they have opportunities to stare off into the distance where, you know, parallel rays of light have to be focused on the retina, because that will change the way their eye shapes as they grow.
Yeah, it's not just distance. It's also the complexity of what they look at. There's evidence that shows that children, regardless of how much reading they do, if you control for that, children who spend more time outdoors are much less likely to have myopia than children who spend more time indoors, after you account for the effects of reading. So, because there are signals that come to the retina that actually affect the growth of the eyeball, depending on the complexity of the visual environment.
Amazing. And when you start to understand these things, you think to yourself, what have we done to ourselves? What have we done to ourselves, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, think about myopia, though, because it's an instructive example, right? Myopia is not such a bad thing, after all. I mean, there are advantages to reading, right, which our ancestors didn't do. And it just highlights the fact that everything has costs and benefits, right?
Right.
And so, you know, some aspects of our modern world, maybe the costs are outweighed by the benefits. In the case of reading, that might be the case. Because, you know, you can't suddenly have people no longer read, right, or spend all their life outside and not go to school. But so that might be one where we're willing to tolerate that trade-off. But heart disease, type 2 diabetes, cancer, osteoporosis, I don't think the costs outweigh the benefits at all. And, in fact, you know, not exercising, not eating a healthy diet, not getting enough sleep, those are, in a way, no-brainers, but we're somehow stuck in this vicious sort of feedback loop, and we need to get out of it.
We have just a few minutes, and this may be unfair to ask you this in just a few minutes. If we have to go long, I'm happy to go long. Where do you stand on lactase persistence and dairy? This is where a lot of the paleo, ancestral diet, primal people, they want to punch each other in the nose. No, we shouldn't be drinking dairy. Yes, we should. What do you think?
Well, you know, I'm very glad that my ancestors evolved the ability to digest milk sugar, because I enjoy milk products and I have no problem with it.
Yeah, me too.
Because, you know, natural selection has operated to enable me to do it, and I don't have to smell up the room after drinking that stuff. So I am, you know, I don't eat ridiculous amounts of dairy products, but, you know, but they're part of my diet, the protein. And furthermore, I love cheese. So there we are.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't evolve to be healthy. We evolved to have lots of offspring. And sometimes we just have to, you know, do the things we really love.
I've said on this show numerous times that libido may be a greater indicator of where you are on the longevity curve than anything else. If you think about the fact that job one for any species is to reproduce, live long enough to reproduce, and if you still feel like you have the drive to reproduce, then chances are you're healthy, because we know that when species get go through famine and environmental situations that are not good to bring offspring into the world, their libido goes away. You have any opinions on that statement?
Well, it's partly libido, but also just fertility. So, for example, women who are overweight but go on a diet, their ovarian function declines, right?
Mm-hmm.
They actually become infertile. Now, their libido might not change, But the body is able to sense that there's a shift in energy, right? Mm-hmm. There's less energy available because they're actually in what's called negative energy balance. They're dieting. And so the body's evolved to say, oh, wait, there are tough times going on now. Now is not the time to invest in reproduction.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily just libido. It's also just fertility. And of course, males and females are different in terms of how we allocate energy for reproduction. But you're right. But natural selection, it's the only currency it cares about is how many offspring you have who survive mm-hmm. and reproduce.
Right.
So our bodies are very good at shuttling energy towards reproduction when possible, which is one of the reasons that underlies prostate cancer and breast cancer increases over the last years, because those are caused by hormones that have trade-offs. Testosterone has a two-edged sword. On the one hand, it's beneficial for all kinds of things, including your libido. On the other hand, testosterone also increases your risk of heart disease. We didn't evolve to be healthy. We evolved to have offspring, and that's one of those trade-offs that's an inevitable consequence of the way we evolved.
You know what the single best thing you can do to protect yourself from ever developing prostate cancer?
Tell me.
Orgasm. We've done this. I've got a fantastic study, a very well-controlled study. The men who had an average of 10 orgasms a month over a course of years, and they looked at different frequencies of orgasm, and the more orgasms, the lower the rate of prostate cancer in these men. And that speaks to the fact that if you're using it, because you talk about use it or lose it, well, the prostate is no different.
The prostate's no different, yeah. Well, I'd love to see that study.
I'll email it to you.
You got my email.
Yes.
Study.
I'd
love to see it.
Listen, thank you for coming on the show. It's truly, truly a pleasure having you on the show. And thank you for writing this book. And I'm telling everybody out there, you must buy this book. I promise you that you will email me and say thank you. I am the smartest person on my block now that I've read The Story of the Human Diet. I'm sorry, Human Body by Dr. Daniel Lieberman. Thank you so much, Dr. Lieberman.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Take care. All right, so there you have it. We also want to thank Danny McCamley for being on from the UK to talk about the anti-snoring ring. You can go to goodnightsnoring.com to learn more about that. I am going to. And we'll see you tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio. Don't forget, get the book, The Story of the Human Body, right on the Superhuman Radio homepage. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.